This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair. The Ann Arbor Public Schools' plans for the school year is taking shape. A draft of the Reimagine Learning Plan, as it's being called, was presented to the Board of Education Wednesday night. What is it going to mean for students, parents, teachers, and staff? For those answers, it's best to go directly to the source. Our guest today is Ann Arbor Schools Superintendent Dr. Janice Swift, and thank you so much for the time today, Dr. Swift.
Thank you. It's great to talk with you.
For at least the start of the school year, all instruction is going to be distance learning online. How did you arrive at that decision?
Well, David, it's a very anguishing decision. Has to do with the rising number of cases. You know, we were doing very well through the end of May, and then over the previous 6 weeks, seeing the rising cases in Washtenaw County, in Michigan, and then, of course, the number of U.S. cases. Secondly, that recently released research data that children and teens represent a rising percentage of the cases, that transmission among 10 to 19-year-olds is the same as that in adults. And then just the outbreaks at summer camps and at childcare centers just causes enough concern that we want to, when the data is ready, to be able to introduce students in small groups into school rather than opening the doors for some 25,000 people who come into our buildings on any day that school is open.
So once again, it's going to start the academic year, virtual learning, and parents and students are going to have some choices about what their year looks like. There are three different enrollment options: A2 All Access, A2 Classroom Connect, and A2 Virtual Plus Academy. What is the difference in these options?
Distinct difference in the three has to do with the Classroom Connect is where the student will be a part of a classroom with the teacher, quality Ann Arbor Public Schools teacher and curricula, and that student and their family will have the intention, as soon as we're able, to being part of this migratory movement into our schools. The second program, the student link, the All Access, is where the student is a part of a fully virtual classroom. And that set of students and parents do not have the intention of moving into a classroom face-to-face environment. In other words, they've decided they would like to remain virtual for the semester.
So families are going to be asked to make a choice. If parents and students find their initial choice isn't working, can they opt into a different learning structure, or are they committed for the academic year to the initial choice made?
We will make movements if families try one side and prefer to be on the other side. But because of the social distancing requirements, we're asking that if folks commit to a virtual, being a member of a virtual classroom, that be for this semester. I will point out, David, also that being a part of the Classroom Connect, a student can remain virtual. So if there were to be a case in a classroom with a staff member or with a student, those students would be virtual. So the idea is their instruction would not be disrupted. They would be able to remain virtual if needed.
So one of the great concerns is, how effective is distance learning and online learning? How much study was done on its effectiveness for students in the last part of the most recent academic year when quarantine took effect?
Well, I really appreciate that question. We, every week of the spring, continued to work to improve the process. One of the key and critical differences, David, is this fall, our learning will be synchronous. It will be real-time, interactive, in a classroom setting with students and teacher. So that's a key difference. We were able to add Schoology. Of course, we already had Seesaw and Google Meets in other platforms. But this is going to be much more seamless for students to be able to join their peers at specific times of the day. And it averages, David, depending on the level, about three times per day, three class times per day, or four for older students, where students will be live for instruction with their teacher and with their peers.
I fear that distance learning is going to be most difficult for students already at risk. How will the Ann Arbor schools provide resources and additional support to the kids with IEP and 504 plans?
Well, we are absolutely going to deliver those services. Many of them are and have been over the summer and in the spring. Those services are being delivered virtually. And yet our plan calls for us to begin as soon as we can get this uptick of cases going in the other direction. We will be bringing in, migrating into the schools, small groups of our most at-risk and youngest students first. So we will attend to those needs virtually, and as soon as we can get the opportunity, we'll start to bring in small groups of students and see how that goes.
This is 89.1 WEMU in our conversation about plans and protocols for the upcoming academic year. Continue with the superintendent of the Ann Arbor Public Schools, Dr. Janice Swift. There are a lot of students who were without the proper technology at the beginning of quarantine. I know the Ann Arbor Schools has worked diligently to provide that technology to make sure that kids can learn online. Where are we? Are we near 100% now?
Yes. We, during the latter part of the spring, you know, our ITD team did a marvelous job, more than 10,000 help desk calls and the distribution of approximately 4,000 devices. So we were at 99% connectivity in the late spring. We will be using that week of August 31st, before Labor Day, for technology tune-up and checkout and touchless delivery for our families. David, we will also be working in what we're calling Connection Plus support groups. These will be small satellite groups, virtually if needed, or face-to-face in community centers, in apartment clubhouses, where members of our team will sit directly with our most at-risk students who may need help accessing that virtual classroom and being ready to participate.
A lot of single parents, working parents, and families that depend on schools to allow them to go out and make a living during the day. Distance learning requires someone be home with the student. What resources will be or are available to those who need and maybe can't afford childcare or tutoring during the school day?
David, this is the most distressing part of the situation for everyone involved. And so we're going, we've said from the beginning, we will meet our students and families where they are. So we're in outreach now to our families who are in hardship situations. We will do everything in our power that we can to support those. We do have a number of community centers. You know, we have more than 5,000 students enrolled now in our summer programming, and a lot of that is being supported through our community centers. We'll be providing staff members into those locations to assist, and we're going to do everything we can to support our families. I know that our community is going to work together to support families where there are truly these situations.
The Board of Education is expected to fully sign off on the plan at its next meeting. And between now and the start of online classes, it sounds like there's a lot of work to be done and a lot of information to be disseminated. So how is that process going to roll out, and when can folks start expecting news and information in their mailboxes?
We're absolutely on that, David. Today, parents will receive an initial email. They will have full access to all of the information that we've shared. We'll be collecting input and feedback on the plan. We're already hearing of some excellent additions that we'll be adding to our plan as we go. We're going as a community to refine these details over the coming 6 weeks. We are asking families to make an initial decision by the middle of August so that we can be fully prepared. Again, the week of August 31st is that preparation and onboarding week with the orientation to the learning platform for parents and students with technology and materials, distribution, and then classes and learning will be in session on Tuesday, September 8th, that Tuesday morning after Labor Day.
Thank you so much for the time today and explaining that. And why don't we set aside time to talk again before the actual start of the academic year?
That would be wonderful. Thank you so much, David. It's great to talk to you.
That is Dr. Janice Swift, superintendent of the Ann Arbor Public Schools. For more information on today's topic and to access all COVID-19 related news, both from WEMU and NPR, visit our website at WEMU.org. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.